What is a bond-centered practice? A bond-centered practice means focusing on this thing we call a bond. Now, this is very hard for us scientists. You take a bond, you say, well, how much does it weigh? You know, how long is it? How wide is it? What's it made out of? Let's do a chemical analysis on it. It's very hard for us to deal with these abstract concepts of something as the bond. And therefore, it's often given short shrift. However, hopefully from what we've talked about previously, you are now convinced that the bonding is important. But let's now talk about bonding and what a bond-centered practice is in some detail. It means using specific techniques, tools. These are tools for your tool belt, and hopefully ones that you take with you in all your interactions with clients and animals. So what kinds of techniques? Things that will bond the owner and the pet. The owner and the pet. Now, there's a lot of bonding there that happens anyway, but what we can do is give them advice to prevent bad things, advice to increase the good things. Some simple training. The dog who will come when it's called, who doesn't urinate on the carpet. Okay? Simple things like that will increase the bond between owner and pet. The owner and the veterinarian. Here, what we want is for them to build loyalty to our practice. The owner and the veterinarian, there the bonding is based on trust. It's built on honesty. It's built on providing services, quality services, and the ones that the client wants. Between the pet and the veterinarian, this is often given, again, little attention. We want the pet to be bonded with the veterinarian. We're going to talk about very specific tools this hour that you can do to make that happen. By the way, giving treats is a good start. Between the pet and the facility, okay, the building, the grounds, bonding the pet to the facility. How do you do that? Have them come every week for a puppy party and have a really good time. And then have them come every day for a while for daycare to play with their friends. That bonds them to the location so that instead of being afraid when they walk or drive by, they're happy and want to come. We often have pets in my practice who run away from home to come to the practice. And it makes sense now, doesn't it? If that's where their friends are, that's where the cookies are, they don't remember anything bad happening because we give them sedation and medication to prevent the pain. All they remember are the good things. That's the kind of model that I'm trying to advocate for you. Between the pet and the hospital staff, not only the facility, not only the veterinarian, but the staff. The pet and the staff. Here, it's largely based on bribery. It means giving little food treats on a regular basis. This is a very great technique. It's going to be a big tool in your tool belt in terms of bonding. Very simple, and we're going to give you some detail on exactly what that means here. So, between the veterinarian and the vet staff, here what we're talking about is the veterinarian and the staff being on the same page, being concerned about the total care, being concerned about the mind as well as the body, being concerned about this personality, the bonding, and all those things. I think there is great mutual admiration, and the staff who work in a practice that focuses on behavior have more fun. It's more entertaining. You learn more. It's a whole skill that you can learn. So the staff that goes and works in a vet hospital that has a behavior service is a good, happy staff. And then we want to also focus on pets bonding with other pets. Have you known dogs who just didn't get along with other dogs? It's not natural. It's artificial. It's having, very likely, either that dog had some bad experiences where they weren't carefully supervised and stewarded, or they were simply isolated and they did not allow that part of the brain, that socialization part of the brain, to develop. If you isolate a puppy away from other dogs, that is bad advice. There are still veterinarians that are giving that advice. Keep your dog away from all other dogs until they finish their vaccinations. I am proposing to you, my opinion, that is old advice. That's what I was taught when I was in vet school to tell clients. It's not that it is a bad person, it's just that that's what we were taught because we weren't taught behavior. What I said earlier was, and what I would encourage you to think, that this important information on behavior is at least as important as vaccinations. So let's not overemphasize the vaccines, because here's the other thing. Dogs who bond with other dogs actually are healthier. There's an article coming out in the near future that proves that dogs who are isolated away from all other dogs until their vaccinations are finished, their immune system is stunted. They don't get the natural immunity that you get from being out in the world and having little dust particles and sniffing and smelling and so forth. Their immune system is actually stunted. You are not making them more safe. You are actually making them at greater risk. That advice is now outdated. Now, a lot of veterinarians don't know that. So if we don't know that, we just have to share that information. So what I'm saying is that if We change one word. If we say, don't allow your puppy to be around any sick or mean dogs until they're later on. But I would say don't ever do that. So if they're around healthy, friendly dogs, the more the better as a puppy. Puppy class is a good way because they're already tested and they're examined and they have to pass the requirements to be there. But in general, these puppies need to be socialized to other dogs. And when they are, then they get along with this pet and other pets at the same time.